I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Global warming alert, Catholics. Jesus is coming one day. Are you ready? Better be living in a state of grace. Hey, Terry and Jesse show Holy Hour of Power. High Energy Catholic Radio. We engage the culture of death with prayer, fasting, and full contact Catholicism. I'm reporting for duty, sir.
And Terry Barber reporting for duty, sir. And Jesse, you're going to be reporting for duty this Saturday. For the Divine Mercy Conference.
I think both of us are.
Yeah, both of us are going to be there. Yeah, you're right. I'll be there. I'll be pushing your books. I mean, actually, I'm giving a talk. That's right, with Father Calloway, Jess Romero, three guys who have high energy, and one's a priest, and Jess and I have been working with him for probably 25 years. I'm the knucklehead who got his No Turning Back conversion story out, and he just took off after that, so through the grace of God.
Praise God.
That's going to be at Margarita Middle School in Temecula, California. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning on this Saturday, August 24th. Just type in Divine Mercy Conference in Temecula, and you'll get all the information. Jess, I just want to get our good news of what we call the Bible. We use it. We call it spiritual food. You know, we say there's some soul food every single day. For those who just came on board, and I just want to welcome our new stations, JMJ Radio, because of Jess Romero giving me a text the other day. He doesn't even know this, Jess. I'm sure you don't. But we've got five new stations up by Scranton, Pennsylvania, Wilkes-Barre, up in the New England area, all because, I'll just be honest with you, folks, when Jesse Romero goes out and gives talks, they go, wow, dude, we like you. How can we hear more of you? And he goes, well, I'm on Virgin Most Powerful. So, and I'll be honest with you, folks. Jesse's going to smile when I say this. We also get people who say, we don't want him, man, because he's telling the truth, and we got to tone it down.
So you get both sides.
I get both sides, and I'm the guy that gets to interface with him, and I just tell him, hey, you know what? It is what it is. What you saw Mr. Romero preaching today, that's what he says on the radio every single day. If you want it, great. If you don't, it's a free country. Take it or leave it.
Right.
Okay, Jess, let's open up our Bibles.
Yep. Matthew and Acts chapter 19, verses 23 to 30.
Yep.
A lot of meat and potatoes here. Jesus said to his disciples, amen, I say to you. And by the way, every time Jesus Christ uses the word amen, he's about to teach on something on salvation.
Yep.
Okay, so you got to pay attention. When he says the word amen, he is about to tell you how to get to heaven. Okay, amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Mm. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, who then can be saved?
Yeah.
Jesus looked at them and said, for men, this is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. In other words, Jesus Christ is answering the heresy of Pelagianism. Nobody can save themselves in their own human efforts. It's impossible. The Bible goes on to say, then Peter said to him in reply, we have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us? Jesus said to them, amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name, that's called, by the way, self-detachment. Mm-hmm. That's what we're all working towards, self-detachment. In my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow.
There's a song in Spanish, you always hear it in Spanish masses, the choir sings that, whatever you give God, God will return to you 100-fold. Amen. It comes from this gospel today, this promise of 100-fold. And there's also two things that jump out at me when I look at today's gospel that I just want to mention. In verse 24, where it talks about, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Okay, what Jesus is telling us here, and I've been to Jerusalem several times, and Steve Ray and the Israelis, they don't know exactly where this gate is at. Okay, it may just be a metaphor because they can't find this precise gate. But what Jesus is warning us, Steve Ray says, and the Israeli Catholics tell you over there, is that he's talking about the way it's going to be extremely difficult for the rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven without God's help, okay? And that's the key. Without God's help, your wealth is not going to get you into heaven because we have to work towards self-detachment little by little. And that's a process because the Bible is very clear that the love of money and material possessions is the root of all evil. And this young man's refusal to embrace Christ and his gospel, it proves the point that he's not ready yet to really pull a St. Francis and just say, you know what, I'm going to follow you, Lord, and I'm just going to walk away from everything. Also, where it talks about the 12 apostles, this promise that he gives them, Jesus Christ established the Catholic Church, the new Israel of God, under the leadership of the 12 apostles, 12 Jewish men. And he says that they're going to have 12 thrones as well. So here, Jesus Christ, he's portraying the church in heaven as the restored kingdom of Israel, the restored kingdom of David. And of course, he appoints the apostles to be the new royal cabinet ministers. And he invests them with his authority to judge in this new kingdom, in this new covenant. And Christ is imparting judgment and justice through the 12 apostles and their successors. Terry?
How does this apply to me individually? Here it comes, folks. What's more important for you, your money? And I'm gonna tie this into voting, Jesse. What? How do you do that? I'll tell you how. Are you going to vote for a candidate who's going to give you a check each month? Or are you going to vote for a candidate who's going to save lives through saving babies? That's how I see it. In other words, what's our priority? Our bank account or our spiritual bank account? We have to prioritize that. I noticed, Jesse, throughout history, that when people become wealthy and very few people who have money, I'm sorry, are fervent with their faith because their money becomes their God. And so I wouldn't just ask myself this question. Has money become more important than my relationship with Jesus Christ? That's the question I have from reading this gospel. So it becomes personal to me. You can answer the question.
And we even wrestle with this at the level of the Catholic Church.
Of course.
Last night on the plane, I was rereading the sections on infiltration from Dr. Taylor Marshall. Mm-hmm. He has two chapters which talk about the Vatican Bank that's been infiltrated since the time of Pope Paul VI.
That's right.
Chapter 24 and 25 of his book is worth reading, and you'll see the way even clergy oftentimes that are taking a vow of poverty, they even get tantalized and they get seduced by money. And we've been seeing this corruption in the Vatican Bank since Pope Paul VI. And in fact, this is one of the reasons we don't have Pope Benedict right now, is because the corruption continued and he couldn't clean it up and he had to walk away from the papacy. This is one of the reasons why. And again, what is it that took down possibly a pope and many cardinals and priests and bishops have fallen as a result of what? Greed. And so this gospel, Terry, it doesn't just speak to lay people.
I agree.
It speaks to people all the way up to the Vatican.
I agree. And just a quick note, Cardinal Pell, tomorrow they're going to make a decision on his innocence, I hope, and his appeals for sexual misconduct accusations. And on the 21st of this month, that's tomorrow, so I would ask you to pray for him because I have to make a connection to the bank, Jesse. He was in charge of trying to clean up the Vatican Bank, and he was in the middle of exposing some high-level people in corruption. And at that time, what happens? Accusations come out from 25 years ago that he's got sexual misconduct. So guess what happened to the investigation? It was put on hold. I'm just saying it's interesting, Jess. That's all.
Yeah, Taylor Marshall got two chapters on that, Terry. And I'm telling you, people are found dead. They're found hung under bridges.
Yep.
When they try to clean up the Vatican Bank. It's been corrupt since Pope Paul VI time, and nobody's got a handle on it right now.
Can I give you a good news story, folks? Here it comes, because I want to lift you up, because we got to deal with some problems in the church. But I love to hear people stand up for the truth, even when it costs them their political career or their church career. We see that with, you know, good cardinals and good bishops. The Brazil's new president, he is going to eliminate transgender pro-gay ideology from the schools. Jesse, I didn't hesitate. I said it. He is actually going to stop the promotion of homosexuality and this transgenderism and say, remove it from the education. And Jesse, he's getting pushed back in the article from LifeSite, talks about people are just asking for him to step down. They're doing some big pushbacks from the Brazil Teachers Union. And I just want to say, let me give you his name, everybody, so you can pray for this man, because he's got courage. I was going to say something a little stronger, but Jesse, this is a man's man right here. I'm sorry. You know what happened?
Harry, he's about as courageous as that 15-year-old boy last week that we saw over in what country was it?
In Brazil.
No, the young 15-year-old boy.
That was Poland. Yeah, that was Poland.
In front of about 150 LGBT marchers and the police with riot gear.
Yep.
And he stood there saying, no, you guys are wrong. And he was praying.
Yeah.
I mean, these are incredibly courageous Catholics, man. I tip my hat off to them, Terry. I just look at them and I'm inspired.
We should. His name is Jair Bolsonaro. That's the president of Brazil who's making a stand. God bless him. Hey, I have to laugh, Jesse. While I was making that statement, my Siri on my smartphone started searching for people who are stopping homosexuality. I'm laughing because it read my...
I saw that. I heard that.
I think that's hilarious. Hey, yeah. Jess, what do we got when we come back from the break, brother?
Well, I want to say this. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, pray for us. Today's his feast day. Yeah. And I can tell you that this holy prelate, a lot of people don't know, is that he supported the Crusades.
Right.
He approved the Crusades. He called them a just war. And that's what we need, Terry. Straight-talking prelates like St. Bernard of Clairvaux, pray for us.
Amen.
This is Mary Danielle Barber, and I would like to invite you to join us here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina for a True Femininity Be Who You Are Women's Conference, Saturday, September 7, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Barbara Nicolosi and I will be speaking. It's $35 a person, and you can register at virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We hope to see you at the Women's Conference, September 7th, 2019.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to His church, to aid and defend her. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
You know, there's a sin called calumny and detraction. That's when you purposefully lie about somebody. And for many years, for decades, I'll say, You have scientific journals, academic journals, that have been lying about people that have a conservative worldview.
Oh, really?
In fact, science academic journals
yeah.
have been saying that conservatives are psychotics. Well, guess what?
This is funny.
They just had the scientific community just had a red pill moment. They just had to retract everything they've been saying for decades. And it seems to me now, this article that I'm looking at, it says science says liberals, not conservatives, are psychotic, which means they have a mental disorder, a mental illness. And it's funny, Terry, but there's a lot of people that have been saying this about liberals for years. I'll give you an example. Michael Savage. Mm-hmm. He's on talk radio, secular talk radio. Yeah. He's got a book. It's called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. Yeah. He's got a PhD in science and stuff. And so he comes at it from a scientific, but he's been arguing that for years, what this article is saying now. And it also reminds me of a holy Catholic priest back in Spain 150 years ago, Father Felix Sarda. He wrote a book, Liberalism is a Sin.
10 books.
Okay. And let's not forget that what is sin? St. Thomas says it's the darkening of the intellect.
Yep.
So Michael Savage and Father Felix Sarda are basically saying what this article's saying right now, that it turns out to be that liberals are the ones that are psychotic according to science. Here's what this political science journal says, okay? There's an often published cited study claiming conservatives are very likely to show traits associated with psychoticism. But this journal says it got it wrong, very wrong. The American Journal of Political Science published a correction. I give them credit because they usually don't correct themselves. They published a correction this year saying that the 2012 paper has an error and that liberal political beliefs, not conservative ones, are actually linked to psychoticism. And so the interpretation of the coding of the political attitude items in the descriptive and preliminary analysis portion of the manuscript was exactly reversed. It's exactly the opposite, the jury said in the startling correction. So I have to give these guys a lot of credit. These are secular humanists. Yeah. These are academics. And they're correcting themselves publicly. They're saying, you know what? What we've been saying for years about conservatives, that was wrong.
Yep.
The fact is, the science indicates that it's liberals who are psychotic. And all I could say is that this academic journal, I give them a lot of credit because they went against the whole establishment, Terry.
Oh, there's a lot of pushback on this, Jesse. The liberals are going nuts. How could you say such a thing? Hey, Jess, before I bring Bishop Sheen in, let's talk about the saint of the day because, man, he was a very influential saint at a very troubling time of history. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, yeah, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux.
That's Matt Arnold's favorite saint.
Saint Bernard of Clairvaux was a medieval theologian. He was a major figure in the Cistercian order of monks.
Oh, yeah.
He was a very gifted, he's a very gifted French nobleman.
Yep.
He joined the Cistercians back in 1111 AD, and he persuaded four of his brothers and 27 of his friends to come with him. So he was an evangelist back then.
Yeah.
Saint Bernard was sent to establish a new monastery at Clairvaux, and that monastery prospered under his leadership. It contributed greatly to the renewal of the Catholic Church. St. Bernard was a prolific writer, and in spite of his poor health, his widespread fame brought him into a number of religious controversies and disputes of his age.
That's right.
But he was a man of charity. He was also a formidable opponent. He spared no effort in attacking injustice. Once again, he called the Crusades a just war. He spoke out against excessive luxury amongst the clergy. He also spoke out against persecution of the Jews. St. Bernard of Clairvaux was a great theologian. He relied heavily on the Bible in his preaching and writing. And he also spoke to people's hearts.
He did.
St. Bernard was canonized only 21 years after his death. That's pretty fast.
That's quick.
And in 1830, he was declared a doctor of the church, which means that his teachings are reliable as the teacher of the Catholic faith.
Two things I want to add to St. Bernard. One, he came from a very rich family, and as the gospel, for today's gospel, he was that young man, except he said, I give it all up to serve Christ. That's St. Bernard. Second thing, there's a big controversy that Jesse was talking about. What was the controversy? Well, we had three popes going on at one time, and he was the one who mediated to say, there's the good Pope. This is the real Pope, and you guys are imposters. And what I read about him, Jesse, is he was very persuasive. He could sell, you know, ice cream to Eskimos or whatever. I mean, ice cubes to the Eskimos. The guy was very persuasive, and he used his talent for the greater honor and glory of God. So, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, please pray for us.
Boy, oh boy, do we need many St. Bernards today, Terry.
Yeah. Hey, Jesse. Terry,
let me just go finish up a little bit about this article about... I'll tell you why this is important, because I consider myself a conservative.
I do, too.
I have conservative values, traditional values.
Yep.
And they've been calling us, scientific journals have been calling us crazy for decades.
I've had that
in fact,
my life.
The article says that it's been reported at least 45 times in scientific journals that conservatives are psychotic.
Yep.
But thanks to the fact that they caught their, they've retracted and they've taken back their mistake. In other words, Terry, a lot of these scientific journals have been lying about you and me and people like us.
Yep.
They've been lying for years about conservatives, and the Catechism calls that the sin of calumny and detraction. And here's my problem. Not a lot of people are going to read this article.
No.
So they're not going to know about it. So in my opinion, the damage has already been done, because people aren't going to read the retraction. Here's what the liberals have done for decades by saying that conservatives are psychotic and putting this in academic journals. It's like ripping open a pillow, waving it over your head outside on a windy day till the pillow's empty of all its feathers. And then all of a sudden say, okay, I'm going to go and retrieve every single feather. Good luck. That's why this is so evil, when you lie about somebody and you know you're lying about them. This Professor Brad Verhulst, he was one of the researchers and co-author of the paper, and he says, I'm not sure who's to blame for this. He said this, I don't know where it happened. All I know that is it did happen, this lie about conservatives. He goes, it's our fault for not figuring it out before. And the journal said that the error doesn't change the main conclusions of the paper, which found that personality traits do not cause people to develop political attitudes. And so I want to give these guys a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah.
And my opinion here, I don't think, Terry, it was an honest mistake for decades. I think that they were doing this. These academic journals were doing this on purpose. This is known as the Saul Alinsky method of ad hominem attacks and demonizing your opponent, where you're able to marginalize him and isolate your enemy and destroy his credibility and make him irrelevant. They've been doing this for years, but I thank God that they've at least come to their senses and retracted their statements and says, we're wrong. It's the liberals that are psychotic, not conservatives.
And Jesse, just look at the media and you can see what percentage, like 88% of the media is run by liberals and atheists. They don't believe in God. So I get it. Hey, good points, Jess. Let's bring in Bishop Sheen real quick. Full Sheen ahead. A real quick one, because this is right now all of us are suffering, okay? He says, all suffering endured with love of God profits our families and even the world. Remember what Our Lady said? Souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. So in the spite of all the problems in the church and in the world, you have a great role to play in your suffering. Utilize it. Don't let it go become wasted pain. You know, unite it with the suffering of Christ for the good of the church. Pray for that son or daughter that's not living the Catholic faith right now. And your prayers are going to be efficacious. Remember this, there's no time with God. You say your prayers right now, 50 years from now, they can be efficacious for a soul. That just to me, Jesse, when I think about that, I've actually prayed. This is kind of weird, Jess. Have you ever done this? Have you ever prayed for your future relatives from 100 years from now? I've actually said this. I don't even know them. I'm never going to be here to meet them here on this planet. But I want to pray for my future generations that they love Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And I thought that was kind of an inspiration. But I just say this to everybody. Don't forget the power of prayer and reparation and atonement and expiation. You have a great role, our listener, in the success of evangelization and bringing the church back to its teachings, where we have clarity and charity. So I just want to remind everybody to keep their prayers coming. Don't give up.
by the way, just in case you're wondering about that book that I just quoted, it's called Liberalism is a Sin. It's right here.
Yeah, I have it.
It's an old classic from 10. It's written by two Catholic priests.
Yeah.
And the liberals were very upset when when this book came out. They told the Pope about it, and they wanted the Pope to come down and put that in the Index of Forbidden Books. And the Pope at the time, he read it, and not only did he not put it in the list of forbidden books, he said that these two priests had spoken well and very accurate about the Holy Mother Church and Catholic theology. So the Pope actually gave them a boost because he actually said that book was spot on.
Wow. Hey, Jesse, when we come back, we're going to talk about a priest saying that he's pleading with parents. This has been, should be done 50, 60 years ago. What is he pleading to parents? That Catholic schools are only Catholic with your help. In other words, we're going to talk about your involvement in your Catholic education for your children. And I really appreciate a priest saying that, because I got to admit, I'm old enough to remember the 1960s when everything was thrown out in the Catholic schools. And let's face it, today, here's the statistics. 82% of the young people, by the time they're 23 years of age, will not be practicing the faith. Why is that? I'll tell you why when we come back from the break here at the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess, where are we going to be? I got it here. We're going to be...
You got it there. Go ahead.
I got it. Okay. We are going to be speaking with Father Donald Calloway. As a matter of fact, just to let you guys know, I recorded 3 talks by him at the family conference in Wichita. I'm bringing those recordings. If you want copies of those and all the talks from the Wichita conference, call us at 877-526-2151 and we'll get you those. But Father Calloway, Jess Romero, myself, it will be at the Margarita Middle School in Temecula, California. It opens at 9 a.m. And Jesse, at Mass, we're going to have the Anglican Ordinate, the Mass we have here at the Sacred Heart Chapel.
How did you get that?
Well, they're our friends. You know, the priest there is right around the corner. So
So I didn't know that. So yeah. They have one of those.
They have a parish there in Marietta.
Wow. Awesome.
So
good job.
It's going to be beautiful. And again, if you want to come, just go online and check that out by typing Divine Mercy Conference 2019. And again, when we come back, Jess, this is so important that families are connected. When you send your son or daughter to Catholic schools, make sure you look at the books. Make sure you know what's going on, because when my kids were in Catholic school, I remember, Jesse, I'm looking, scratching my head. My son's bringing this. Dad, you know what they said? I said, oh, brother, tell me. And then we'd have to deal with it. And I think you had the same problem with your kids.
Oh, yeah.
So let's do it when we come back. Hey, if you want to make a donation, I know that some of the other stations are fundraising right now. We don't do it every 3 months. We just ask you, if you want to be a monthly donor or one-time donation, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. With more with the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse Show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of putting me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Justin's show and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the Mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse Show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
So what makes a Catholic school? Father Bill Peckman, a great writer, Orthodox writer, he says that it's not the word Catholic attached to the school that makes it Catholic. I mean, of course, it should be called Catholic in the title. But and he says it's also not having statues and images and icons that makes it a Catholic school. He says what makes it a Catholic, and it's not just having religious classes. Okay? It's not just part of religion classes, it's part of the curriculum. He says, especially if religion is being taught, is watered down, opinion-based, or heterodox, then the classes are like brackish water. They do more harm than good to the faith formation of the students. He says, if the religion is treated as disposable to more important things on the schedule, if it's treated not as the core of the curriculum or not taken seriously, then all you have is a private school.
Yep.
Religion should be taught, to be sure, but more needs to happen. What makes a Catholic school a Catholic school is what makes a Catholic parish Catholic.
Yep.
Here's number one. Ask you, is it a place of prayer?
Number one.
Two, is it a place of devotion or is sports the priority? Three, is it a place of service, Christian service? Four, is it a place where virtue is promoted and lived and expected? Five, is it tied to the mission of the church? And six, is it producing vocations? Father says, I maintain that the single most important aspect of the Catholic school is the parents. Why? Because I can have world-class teachers and administrators. I can have completely engaging and orthodox catechesis and academic formation. I can have enough statues to fill a museum. I can expose these students to the full breadth of the sacramental life and devotional life of the church. But all this is for naught if Catholic formation is not being taught at home as well. Terry?
No, you nailed it. This article said, yeah, is there a place of prayer? Is there a place of devotion? All these. In other words, what's the priority of the Catholic faith in the school system? Or is it, you know, really just academics? Because if that's what a lot of schools are, then why even call it Catholic when it's not? And you know what, Jesse?
Yeah, just a private school.
Exactly. And there's another barometer I say. When they have these reunions for these high schools, the Catholic reunions, even if it's 5 years later, ask yourself how many of these kids are practicing their faith 5 years after graduation. And it's such a small amount, 10 years, even smaller, 15, even smaller. Why is that? And I understand the world, the devil, and the flesh. But let me tell you something. I never went to a Catholic school in my life, Jesse Romero, and everybody else. Okay? Never. And a lot of my friends who I played ball with were all in Bishop Amon High School, St. Christopher's, you know, Catholic schools. Guess what? I don't even know one that's practicing their faith today. See, and I say this. What's most important is giving them a relationship with Jesus Christ in their prayer life, in the Eucharist. How many of these kids, Jesse, come out of Catholic school who have no clue about the real presence of the Christ in the Eucharist? We know that they're not getting the message. So I thank Father for saying, hey, look at the barometer. Get involved in your kids' education. It's important. Jess, you've had that experience with your sons. I remember you telling me, Terry, I had to go over there.
Of course, I've had to write letters and go talk to the teachers and the counselors to teach them Catholicism. And I'll tell you, Terry, the cash value statement in this article where Father Peckman says, he says that is where my principal is. That is where my staff is. That is where my school board is at. Most importantly, that is where our bishop insists that our Catholic schools be. Not Catholic in name only, here it is, but incubators that produce strong, faithful, and lifelong Catholics. That's the cash value statement. Catholic schools should be incubators producing strong, faithful, lifelong Catholics. And I'll tell you, even non-Catholics go to Catholic schools. You know why? Because they know that the education is better, the environment's better. But if you're going to water down the education and the religion, especially just because you have non-Catholic kids there, then all you're doing is you're just running a private school.
I'll give one more thing, tuck on it too, Jesse, because how many non-Catholics end up becoming Catholic going to Catholic schools? I can tell you right now, very few. And in the old days, Jesse, do you realize, like, I've got a good friend, Father Robert Bishop. He was a Baptist. He was going to Catholic school because of the education. You know, he wanted to get a good education. He fell into the Mass, the Trinitine Mass, when he was a youngster. He went to Mass, and that did it. He said, wow, that's worship of God. I want in. And you see, Jesse, we need to evangelize, and they don't even consider evangelizing in many Catholic schools. I've talked to them about, what do you do about the non-Catholic? Oh, well, we don't want to impose our religion on them, so we don't have them come to Mass. We don't want them to come to, if whatever they, you know, we just want to lay back on with, you know, talking to them. Here's my point, Jess. The fire's gone out. What about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the non-Catholics that go to school? There's a potential convert in those schools, and we have looked the other way and said, oh, well, and Jesse, the spirit of Vatican II says that we shouldn't have them become Catholic. Let them, you know, just stay where they're at. That's a bunch of garbage. I'm sorry to be so blunt.
Yep. And we could have more father bishops out there, more Baptist converts, and become holy priests. Terry, the catechism is clear, but it's just dismissed by the modernists.
Yeah.
In paragraph 2229, It says, parents have the right to choose a school for them, which corresponds to their own personal convictions.
Yep.
This right is fundamental, and public authorities have the duty of guaranteeing this parental right and ensuring concrete conditions for its exercise. Also, Pope Leo XIII, he says in his encyclical on Christian education, he says, he recognized the importance of Catholic schools. He said this, Leo XIII, for it is in and by these schools that the Catholic faith, our greatest and best inheritance, is preserved whole and entire. And again, back to Vatican II.
Yeah.
The Declaration on Christian Education says, the public power, which has the obligation to protect and defend the rights of citizens, must see to it, in its concern for distributive justice, that public subsidies are paid out in such a way that parents are truly free to choose, according to their conscience, the schools they want for their children. And Terry, so Vatican II is calling for vouchers, which, by the way, the Democrats, they block it every single time it comes up. Vatican II is calling for vouchers, Terry.
Just the facts. And if you go to canon law, the 1983 edition says it real clear. Mom, Dad, you're the first educator of your children. And don't ever forget that, because you have a right for your kids' education. So if anybody ever tells you, hey, Mom, I'm the teacher, say, time out. You might be the teacher, but I'm the first teacher. That's what the church teaches. So sit down. I'm going to tell you I'm concerned about X, Y, and Z. You have to be bold right now, Jess. You can't sit back and just watch, because what's happening is when we sit back and watch, our kids, many times in Catholic schools, are getting fluff, and if not even fluff, bad moral teachings. Jesse, I'll just give you right back in the mid-70s. My wife, I'll name the school St. Pius in Downey. You know what she was told in 1975? It's okay to have abortions. Yeah, I know I'm exposing our L.A. diocese on that. She said, no, it isn't. Out of 28 kids in the classroom, she was the only one that said, no, you can never have abortion legal. That's wrong. Now, this was right after Roe versus Wade. And can you imagine, Jesse, the effect on those kids when the priest said abortion is okay? I guarantee you he participated. I'm sorry. Many of those men and women who participated in abortions were affirmed by a false teaching at a Catholic school. And I said, you know what? That's enough of that. I'm glad I didn't go. But Jesse, hopefully things are turning around, because I'll give you a good plug, everybody. St. Teresa in Alhambra. They have a wonderful Carmelites that are running that
school.
You have
pockets. There's pockets.
Yeah, you got to find them, though. That's the point, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, you can find the pockets, but the majority are run by modernists. That's just the
truth. That's just a fact.
Yeah, but there are good pockets that you can find. They're like St. Teresa. I know the principal there. She's my good friend, Elma Cornejo.
Yes,
holy woman.
Oh, she is.
Going back to Catholic schools.
Yeah.
Pope John Paul II tried to rein in the problem, but Terry, just as Father, Dr. Yeah. Vince Fortunes told us, he says,
nobody listens.
Yeah, says, how come, you know, when you write stuff, why don't things happen?
Yeah.
Pope John Paul II told our friend Dr. Vince Fortunes, he says, I write things and people just don't listen to me.
I know, it's horrible.
Yeah. In 1999, he wrote an exhortation, The Church in America, and he said this: it is essential that every possible effort be made to ensure that Catholic schools, despite financial difficulties, continue to provide a Catholic education to the poor and marginalized in society. It will never be possible to free the needy from their poverty unless they are first freed from the impoverishment arising from the lack of adequate education.
Wow.
Well, here's the problem, Terry. Most Catholic schools right now are for the elite. It's for the rich and famous.
True.
Most people... The average blue-collar, man working, his wife staying at home, they can't afford Catholic school. It's impossible. And so you see a bunch of non-Catholics there. See a bunch of secular humanists there that can afford private education that are very rich. That, in fact, 94% of Hispanics go to public school.
What? I did not realize it was here that in this high. Country. That's amazing.
So only 6% of Hispanics will even get to go to a Catholic school. And most of the Catholic schools that they're going to go to are just modernism.
And just so you know, way back in the 60s, we had so many more Catholic schools in the country, and so many of them have lost schools. They've lost their funding. And I'm going to propose that if they go back to orthodoxy and really teach what the Catholic faith is teaching, we see those schools booming. So it's just a fruit of modernism, Jesse, why the schools have dissipated over the last 50 years. They're having a hard time surviving. Let's go back to the fundamentals of the faith. Hey, Jess, when we come back, we got a great bishop, a cardinal. I mean, it's just like that president of Brazil. He's standing up to the culture. But we have a cardinal who's willing to rebuke politicians. And you know, Jess, I wish we had more like that, because I don't need to name names about ones that just go, oh, it's okay to receive Holy Communion just because you're a pro-abortion. God understands. No! We're going to talk about an actual cardinal who's rebuking many of the presidential candidates here in the election coming up from Capitol Hill. And he is a man after my own heart. So we'll talk about that and much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. And I want to thank you again, before we break, from the bottom of my heart, all those monthly donors that are paying us to be able to do what we do here. Because without you, we couldn't do it. I want to thank you again for that. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just heard a comment. You know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest, I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
That's right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love
much
it.
Out there.
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Our good friend Oscar, I believe, in Bakersfield has got his kids in a good Catholic school, and I think he wants to talk about that. Oscar, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. God bless you, brother.
Hey, Terry. God bless you. Hey, Terry. Hey, Jesse. How you guys doing?
We're too blessed to be stressed, brother. What's on your mind?
Amen. Amen. I just wanted to share with you guys the fruit that we have here in Bakersfield.
Good.
They love the school.
Oh, yeah.
We've been the Catholic schools family since 1999.
Awesome.
All my kids have gone through that. And you know what's beautiful about our school?
Tell us.
Is they're run by the Sister Servants of the Blessed Sacrament.
Oh, yeah.
Not too many schools nowadays.
No. And,
you know, unfortunately, not too many schools are run by sisters or nuns or you know, religious like that, but ours is. Mm-hmm. Sister Susanna there is awesome.
Good.
Our oblates of St. Joseph, the priest, they're on campus.
Oh, they're God's a good order.
I know those guys. They're good men. See, that's
both of you have come out to give talks to our
that's
community.
Right.
So again, we thank you for that. So yeah, if anyone in Bakersfield area is looking for a very good traditional Catholic school,
yes,
you know, reach out to our school and we have room for you and keep us
Thank
in
you.
Prayer.
Okay.
We're always keeping you guys in prayer as well.
Awesome.
Just wanted to plug that in.
Oscar, they're all over the country like that. There's some good ones that you just have to find them, like Jesse was saying earlier in the show. Oscar, keep us in your prayers and keep up the good work with your family, brother.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
One of the gifts that we received in baptism and are strengthened in confirmation is the gift of fortitude.
Yeah.
We usually call it courage. Mm-hmm. Well, there's two people that I want to profile here that have the gift of fortitude, the gift of courage.
Yeah, let's hear.
One is Cardinal Raymond Burke. I don't have to tell you what this man's gone through in the last couple of years since Pope Benedict resigned. He's been tossed around like a ping pong ball.
Huh.
But it still doesn't stop him.
Nope.
Recently, he was interviewed, and he made some very powerful statements about Kamala Harris, who's running for president, and Joe Biden.
Democratic.
Yeah, but they're both running for the Democrat Party. And Cardinal Burke explained why the Catholic faith is under attack in D.C. It's because of people like them.
Yep.
And he was interviewed by Martha McCallum on Fox News. And mm-hmm. Cardinal Burke says that he would have denied communion to John Kerry back in 2004 for his stance against abortion. And he's saying Cardinal Burke is putting his foot down again. He's saying that these 2020 candidates, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who are baptized Catholics, he says what they're doing is anti-Catholic bigotry, the way they talk, the rhetoric. And this seems to be considered acceptable in Washington. And Cardinal Burke has taken a very strong stance. He was interviewed on Fox News, and I commend him for it. This is an example of courage and fortitude amongst our clergy right now. And he's definitely one of the shining lights.
And Jesse, he says the reason he's doing this is for his love for their salvation of their soul. Because let's face it, if he doesn't speak up to say, look, you're going to have a sacrilege communion, and that's a mortal sin objectively, you could go to hell for that, okay? And so my love for you, I'm going to tell you to knock it off. And I have to say this, Jesse, just like parents, if we don't tell what our kids are doing wrong, it's wrong, well, then we're participating in it. Because he's in a position as a cardinal, archbishop, to speak the truth of the Catholic faith and give people clear moral teachings so that they can get to heaven. So the very fact that people get mad at him for doing that, he's just doing his job. He's doing his duty to help people get to heaven. That's the problem.
Yeah, he's a very clear thinker. He's a canon lawyer, the top canon lawyer of the world. And he explains himself. He doesn't come from a position of hate. He comes from a position of love.
Animosity.
He comes from a position of charity.
That's right.
Cardinal Burke, he said that they may not present themselves to receive Holy Communion because they're not in communion with Christ. In other words, he's saying they're in mortal sin because of the things that they're openly promoting.
Jesse, it's not a punishment for him to say, don't go receive Holy Communion. He says, actually, it's a favor to these people to tell them, don't approach it, because if you approach it, you're committing a sacrilege.
Which is another mortal sin.
Yeah.
It's one mortal sin compounded with another worse mortal sin.
He's expressing
love. And so, he comes from a position of love, Terry.
Absolutely.
Charity.
Yep.
Let's go to another archbishop.
Oh,
another
good news.
Profile another brave man, another courageous archbishop that has the gift of fortitude, gift of receiving the baptism and confirmation.
Yep.
He's the Archbishop of Ottawa, Canada, Archbishop Terence Prendergast.
Yep.
He told the faithful Catholics to pray in reparation for an upcoming satanic mass that was, it passed a few days ago, so I'm going to find out what exactly happened, if they were able to shut it down or not. But the Satanic Temple in Canada, they sponsored this event at a restaurant and a bar that's intended for heavy metal and rock music fans. And this is apparently the very first public satanic black mass in Canada's history. So Archbishop Prendergast said the following to the register. He said this, quote, "My concern is for the faith of our people and the offense this brings to their love and of reverence for the Eucharist." He said this in the interview. And the National Satanic Temple coordinator, Nicholas Mark, he told the news that the event involves using traditional symbols and inverting them to create a ritual that is meant to be the opposite of the traditional mass. In other words, this satanic spokesman, he's admitting, who do they try to copy and imitate? The Catholic Church, the Catholic mass, not Muslims, not Jews, not Protestants. The article says the ritual intentionally mocks Christianity, particularly Catholicism.
Yep.
Although the Satanic Temple will reportedly not desecrate a Eucharistic host at this event. So their spokesman says, oh, don't worry, we're not going to desecrate the Eucharist. Well, let me ask you the question. Yeah. Do you believe a Satanist? That's right. Yeah. Satanists never lie. They're very honest people, right? Just like their founder.
Yeah. Jesse, also, I love his concern for the Eucharist. He says, I ask all my priests, deacons, and extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion to be vigilant that communicants consume the hosts immediately upon receiving. You know, we had one of our sheriffs on last month talking about that at his own parish. I have a solution to what Satanists have told me. They steal hosts when people can give Holy Communion in the hand. Go back to just communion on the tongue, and it's going to cut down on a lot of sacrilegious communions, Jesse. I know I've got a PhD in common sense, but that's my take on that. But his concern for the Holy Eucharist is very real, and I think that he's doing a marvelous job protecting the Eucharist, and I commend him for that.
During the exorcism of Annalise Michel, which is transcribed on the internet, you can read it or you can listen to it, and I've read it and listened to it as both. The demons told the two priests that were performing the exorcism, when they asked about communion in the hand, the demons told the two priests, they said, we're the ones that caused the laity to start receiving communion in the paws. The demons said, the paws. That's what they called it, human beings' hands. And then the demons also said during the rite of exorcism, this is all transcribed in the exorcism of Annalise Michel, they said, we're the ones that caused the bishops in Holland and the bishops in Belgium to start giving people, to start receiving in the hand.
Yep.
So the demons said this under orders in an exorcism that's very famous and transcribed, and it's very well documented.
And also, Jesse, it's disobedience that was being done back there in Holland in 1966. And who's the first one that is a disobedient son? The devil. Jesse, I want to recommend a book I got over on my retreat over the weekend. And I know you have this book, but Joan Carol Cruz, she did the book, remember, on Incorruptibles. That was a great book. Well, this one's called Angels and Devils. And I'll show you the copy. Again, Tan Books, the publisher. And you want to understand spiritual warfare, this is a great book to have on your bookshelf. So I give you recommendations, because as your spiritual fitness trainer, if you're going to battle the devil, if you're going to battle the spiritual life, you need to know what you're up against. And we have, obviously, our Catholic faith that, you know, the greatest thing you can do to fight the devil is be in the state of grace.
Amen. I was asked those questions a lot yesterday at EWTN. Doug Keck and Jeanette Bonkovic, they told me the way you wrote your book, it's called The Devil in the City of Angels by Tan Books. They said, this book is something that could have been written 150, 200 years ago. The way you wrote is something that Catholics don't write this stuff no more. And they said it's like something that goes back 200 to 300 years. So,
Jesse, your book is all kinds of stories as a cop. Why don't you give a plug? I'm asking you to do it. Tell us what you did in that book.
Yeah, in that book, what I did is I wrote about 15 encounters that I've had with the diabolical. And I go into detail. I'm very graphic because I grew up under the Kumbaya Catholicism of the 70s and 80s, balloons, banners, and butterflies. We were never taught about the devil. But I kind of knew about the devil from my parents. My parents would teach me about the devil. It was in Catholic schools. And I went from K to college. And it wasn't until I became a Los Angeles deputy sheriff, a rookie cop, and I started working the Los Angeles County Jail and East Los Angeles Sheriff Station, I started seeing people. I started saying, wow, this isn't normal, this type of behavior, this type of evil.
Yeah.
Their eyes are jet black, no pupil, no iris, frothing at the mouth, screaming like an animal, jumping around like an ape, on all fours like a dog, incredibly strong where it takes 5 or 6 cops to hold them down.
Wow.
I started seeing certain things where I started saying, hey, what my mom and dad have taught me about the devil, it's absolutely true. And so I ended up writing a lot of these stories. I just sat on a lot of these stories. They've been in my computer for 30 years, some of these stories. But my wife said, hey, what are you going to do? You're going to wait till you're dead and give this to somebody? She goes, why don't you just publish the book and start getting people aware of this? Because post-Vatican II, they haven't done a very good job of teaching people about the diabolical. So my wife said, write it, publish it, and I'm just basically... Yep. When you read the book, the solution is at the last chapter, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I give problem and solution in the book, and I basically tell people the solution is, and Doug Keck loved it, and Jeanette Bonker, they said, people, we don't hear this, Jesse. People don't talk like this no more.
Yeah.
I'm just pounding their state of grace. They look at me like, what? I can't believe you're saying that. That's language that's not used no more. I said, well, I'm going to use it. It's all over my books, my last two books. And they're saying, this is such a breath of fresh air. You're calling people to live in a state of grace, which means in a relationship with the Trinity, free from mortal sin. And
yeah, Jesse, so, go to Jesse. Yeah,
that's why we always end the show with the same phrase, Terry.
And it hasn't changed. Go to jesseromero.com to pick up the book. It's a deal changer. Hey, I want to thank all of you who listen to us, and also the ones who are monthly donors. I want to just thank you every day, because that's what pays the bills. If you're not a monthly donor and you want to become one, here's my cell number. Call me. 661-972-7872. Jess, let's be consistent. What state should we be living in, brother?
Wake up, America. Live in a state of grace. Don't hit the snooze button. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. If you live in a state of mortal sin, when you die, you're going to experience global warning. And guess what? I do believe in global warning. It's called the second coming of Christ.
Exactly.
When he comes, some people are going to be saved. They're going to go to a place of perpetual joy and happiness. And some people are going to go to hell. So there will be global warming at the end of time.
That's a reality check. Hey, up next, the Bible with the Barbers. Join us with Mary Danielle and myself. You're listening to Virgin Most Powerful. Full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For for thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.